All right. So before we get started, if we could just start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for this day. As Pastor Kevin said, you know, we're just so thankful for a generous God that we have. Lord, let everybody in here who is listening to this message open up their heart, open up their mind, and may they hear from you and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So typically when I am teaching, I am in a setting of 2 and 3 year olds. So that's a lot easier to teach to them than being up here. So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Brent Detweiler, and I am the husband to Lauren Detweiler. She works in the kids ministry, and I'm also the father to Blake. He's one of the crazy youth that runs throughout the halls. And I teach the 2 and 3 year olds here at the 9 a.m. service and at Awana on Wednesday nights, except for tonight. So, as Pastor Kevin said, the couple past weeks, we've been going through the discipleship values of Calvary. So tonight, we're going to finish off with going through the principles of investing in your resources. So resources can be a multitude of things. It could be financial. It could be a skill. It could be time. You know, really whatever is valuable to you. But we touched on a lot of these topics over the course of those discipleship values. And a lot of them do tie in together. So what I do want to focus on is that financial aspect of investing in your resources. So believe it or not, there is over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talks about money and possessions. And to kind of put that in perspective, there's only roughly 500 verses that talk about faith and prayer. This is clearly an important topic that God wants us to understand and be obedient in. I think he does this for the reason knowing that one of the biggest competitions that is going to have a space in our heart is money and possessions here on earth. If you would have asked me 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, if I'd be standing up here teaching to a congregation, I could tell you that that would not be happening, especially teaching on a topic like this, since this was a crazy topic for me that I had to mature in myself. As I matured in my faith, I have become very passionate in this topic, and so much so, God has blessed me in my career as a financial advisor, you know, investing clients' resources and doing right by God in that sense. So as we go through this teaching, I would like for you to examine your own situation, and I pray that you leave here tonight with the same passion and eagerness that I find myself in, and understand how life-changing being in a life of generosity can change you. So we're going to be reading through the parable of the talents, which is located in Matthew 25. We're going to go through verses 14 through 30. Now, in the NIV, it's the parable of the bags of gold, but we're commonly known it as the parable of the talents. Now, what's interesting about this parable is that it has multiple teachings within the one. It talks about the ascension of Jesus going to heaven and also his return, but more importantly, it talks about how we should be good stewards that he has left us with all the resources here on earth. So a couple things as we go through this, I kind of want you guys to kind of just think through this as we're reading through the scripture. One of the first things that, is the most important thing that we need to realize is that everything belongs to God. We would not have anything except it was from him. In Psalms 24:1, it says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Number two is that we are managers, we are not owners. Number three, what talents have I been given, and how am I glorifying God and his kingdom? Number four, God's children and kingdom are far more important than the possessions here on earth. And number five, it's better to give than it is to receive. As one of Kevin's games, as we've heard him say, you know, him trying to outgive God, that's become one of my favorite games to do. And it's amazing the amount of blessings that are pushed back onto you when you have that giving and generosity of heart. Number six, we will be held accountable for how we manage God's resources. So are we ready to give an account to God? So as I've titled this teaching, are we good and faithful servants? We'll start in 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags of gold, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. According to his ability, that is what I would like to focus on. Each and every one of us are gifted with a talent. I may have some talents that you guys may not have, and you guys, I'm sure, have a lot of talents that I don't possess. And we all know Pastor Kevin has a talent of blessing us with teaching us week in and week out, taking those difficult sermons and really breaking it down, making it relatable to our lives and for us to understand. But Paul also talks about this in 1 Corinthians. Now, we're not going to read through all the 11 verses, but basically I do want to provide you a summary with it. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth and how each of us is given a gift by the Holy Spirit. God has given each believer one or more gifts, and it's to be used for the common good. It's to use for the church and the community and people that you surround yourself with. Gifts help build love and unity with those people you interact with. And it's good to be used for one another. One of the most important parts that Paul is teaching about is that gifts and talents are not about the people who use them, but ultimately it's about God and his purpose. This is really what the last verse is saying in verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. God knows the makeup of every last single one of us in here, and he's given us a particular talent. But I would ask you and challenge you, are you using your talent to glorify God every way you can? We all have roles. Some are called to become missionaries, but those missionaries can't do their calling unless someone's called to give financially. One is not more important than the other, but collectively, they're important together. Let me paint this in a picture in a different way. We all have hands and feet, right? We all have different body parts. Feet can't do what hands can do. Hands can't do what feet can do. But when they all work together, they allow the body to function properly as it should. And we are the body of Christ. We all have a part, and we all work together. There is so much that we can accomplish for God and his kingdom advancement. It's tragic when we see someone take their ability and only use it for their own gain. We all have a place within the body of Christ, and when we are needed and need arises, we can take that step and accomplish it. Your talent is magnified when you are working for God. I mean, let's just brag on Jerry for a little bit. Jerry is the gentleman, if you don't know, is the gentleman that put the gazebo and that beautiful deck out there for us. He was given a talent of carpentry, and he is allowing us as a church body to use that, use a place for gathering, hide from the sun of Florida. And the most important part, going back to the first point, is understanding that none of us, including Jerry, would have that talent unless it was from God. In James 1:17, for every good and perfect gift is from above. Verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. You see, we need to take every opportunity possible that God has given with us and be productive with those resources. He doesn't want us to stand by idly and just sit on our hands. He wants us to use those for his kingdom, to glorify him, to show his love that he has for us. Let's think about a major corporation. You know, you got your CEO, your COO, CFO, whoever, anybody there at the top. You know, do you think they're just sitting there idly on their hands, just hoping that the corporation is going to continue to move forward? Definitely not. You know, they're going to be in that day-to-day operation, ensuring proper cash flows are happening. You know, they got stockholders that they need to answer to, board members to answer to, and they're going to take those resources that they have and the finances that they have and continue to pour back into that company and bring it forward, making it more profitable. This is the same mindset I think we should have as individuals. You know, we need to look at our daily lives. Maybe we need to form a budget. You know, and when you're going through that budget, are you finding yourself, maybe you're overspending, or maybe you don't spend enough and you stay within your budget? You know, and those are the things I would ask. Are you living within your means, and are you able to save a little bit in order to invest it? And it doesn't have to be crazy. You know, you don't have to sit here and try to multiply it like the first two servants do. But the intent of your heart and what you're trying to do is the most important part. Being a good steward with your finances and a manager of God's resources, it allows us to have the freedom of generosity. Now, you may be asking what generosity is. Well, I'm glad you asked. Generosity is the quality of being kind, understanding and compassionate, and willing to use our resources to be a blessing. It's choosing to not be selfish. Selfishness is definitely a poison to the soul. When we are generous, we are willing to give money in the form of tithing or something valuable, maybe skill or time, to others. And again, going back to that first and most important part, we understand that we would not have anything unless it came from God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, we need to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to our ancestors as it is today. So that really needs to lead us to being God-focused and others-centered, not being self-centered. Nothing opposes our spiritual maturity more than selfishness. Now, let me tell you, tithing used to be a very touchy subject for myself. I even had my wife and son leave a congregation that we were attending because I felt like that's all they really talked about, and that's it's like, give money, give money, give time. But really, I had to look inside myself. So as I found, my church home here at Calvary, and I continued to grow in my faith, I examined my own heart, and I had to ask myself, why am I having such a hard time or giving money to a generous God that has given me so much and has forgiven me for everything that I've gone through? And maybe there's someone in here tonight that feels the same way, like, oh, you know, look at this glorious church that we have, and, you know, that's all they really talk about. That's what they want is just money, money, money. But I would ask you, are you not giving your time or finances because you are more self-centered and have a self-interest in mind? And I welcome you to join me in the freedom that it has been to be a cheerful giver. As we all know, God loves a cheerful giver. We want to put to death the selfishness in our lives, and the best way we can do that is to be a giver and not a getter. But I can assure you, you know, as I used to think, it was just, oh, Brent's given, or Lauren's given. But I can assure you, it is not a one-way street. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. By being a good manager of God's resources, it really takes us out of the burden of that financial stress and just trusting in God that he can provide for our needs at any given time. And that does allow us to be more generous. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants turned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. He said, master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, after reading that, just a reminder of what the title of this teaching is tonight. Are we good and faithful servants? Or is there room to improve? Excuse me. And invest our resources more effectively? Now, I understand some of you or all of you already know the blessings that having a generous life may provide. But the ones who don't have that generous mindset or are struggling with that, ask yourself, are you not trusting God with your finances and the resources that he has provided to you? And that's okay. We all have room to improve. I am not perfect myself. I'm sure there's a lot more that I can do, even though I feel that I am giving enough. There's always that much more that we can give. You know, we also need to look at, are we after the latest and greatest thing? Are we trying to keep up, with the Joneses? And I would like to ask you to change that selfish mindset and turn to God and ask, what can you do for him? You know, he does so much for us. What can we do for him? Let's think about it. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his one and only son to die on the cross for you and me. God gives us that invitation to give that generosity back. You know, generosity is about the heart. Everything stems from the heart. If we think about it, Jesus was teaching how if you had hatred in your heart, you might as well have committed murder. Or if you had lust in your heart, you might as well have committed adultery. Everything stems from the heart, and God wants every last piece of real estate within you. 10%, that's the old law goes, that's really kind of like the starting point of giving and that generosity. That's kind of ground zero, but surely I believe that God and Jesus wants us to grow in generosity and not just stay there at the 10%. God is always generous, and we are called to be a reflection of who he is. Again, he gave his only son to us to walk this earth, to pay for all of our sins, to anoint us with his blood. I'm convinced that God can do way more with 90% of my income than I could do with 100% of my income. And I believe that God really wants us to experience the joy of serving and giving just as Jesus did when he walked this earth. Jesus came to serve and be a giver. He did not come to get served to and be a getter. Now, I don't want this to come off as like a condemnation, because I could tell you years ago, if this was a message being preached, I would have been out the door. Let's go. I've heard enough. I don't want this to come off as anything bad. And I want to remind you what Paul taught to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 8. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, God doesn't need our resources, nor does he want you to give because you feel obligated or ashamed to. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are called to be generous as Christians. We are called to store up our treasures in heaven. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is by investing those resources back into your community, back into your church, back into the people that you surround yourself with on a daily lives. I lost my place. I'm so sorry. As it says in Deuteronomy 14:22, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. We see this all throughout the Bible. You know, we see this give and take that we see God give to us. Abraham giving a tenth to Melchizedek, Jacob promising a tenth of all his possessions just because God was so generous to him. And we even see it, you know, Jesus talking to the Pharisees and how they should not be neglect tithing. Verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you not have scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. You wicked, lazy servant. When I was reading that, that hit hard. And it was like, wow, that's what it feels like to not be generous. And, you know, I don't know about you, but that's something I don't want to be known for. I don't want to be known for not being a generous person. Can you imagine arriving in heaven, giving your accounts to God, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, and you are a wicked, lazy servant? And that's just devastating to me. You know, I don't want to have that be on my account by any means. You know, so I would warn you, just as a third servant, you know, he was selfish, he was worried. He sat there and he took what was given to him and hid it away. You know, he was worried about doing wrong by it. And that's often, you know, us as humans, we find that that's what we do. You know, we have that value, we have that resource, we have a skill, and, you know, we just keep it for ourselves. You know, we neglect to do the things that God has called us to do, you know. But you might be saying, you know, especially when it comes to finances, but Brent, I've got a car payment, I've got a mortgage. Have you seen the prices of groceries out there? And I get it. But, you know, none of those things should be an excuse of getting in the way of generosity. You know, I used to have, again, that same mindset of that selfish mentality. And until God, you know, kind of worked on me, you know, God changed my heart. And I really wanted to be a reflection of Christ. We are to be faithful as he has called us to be in all things. You know, God's sovereignty isn't an excuse to neglect being generous. We should strive to be who God has called us to be, have a heart of generosity. One of the main ways God expresses his love for us is through giving. You know, I'll have you guys help me out on this. The infamous scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave his only son for whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When God was thinking about giving, it's never about what he can get back in return. He's doing this with no self-motivation. You know, and we see this all throughout. Verse 27. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take that bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. You see, verse 27 is one of the things that I love about the calling that God has put on my life, allowing me to help his children and make smart financial decisions with his resources that he's blessed us with. You know, at the bare minimum, that third servant should have put his assets into with the bankers and earned a little bit of interest. The earning part is not the important part. The important part is the intent of what you have. You know, having that full decision of, yes, I want to be generous. Yes, I want to trust God with everything and know that he can provide for me. And that's where, you know, examining your own heart and your own lifestyle and ensuring that we are content with what we have. You know, we have to remember, we don't treasure, remember, treasures are not here on earth, but they are stored up in heaven with our Father. Now, God isn't asking you to jump into the fire like he asked me to do on this stage tonight. But, you know, I ask that you at least start a plan. You know, turn your heart into a generous heart. Start by setting small goals for yourself. It doesn't have to be crazy. Again, it's not about the amount. It's about the intent and your true heart feelings. You know, provide accountability for yourself. And if you guys are married or soon to be married, you know, I suggest that you get on the same page with your spouse about the heart of generosity. You know, when you start with the small things and you start achieving them, make that goal larger. You know, once you get that snowball started and you see the blessings that come, it's hard to stop. Like, you know, Pastor Kevin always says, you can't outgive God. You can try, but it's not possible. You know, one of the things that comes to mind, I'm going to try to freelance it here, so bear with me, but is the widow's offering. You know, Jesus was sitting there teaching, you know, in front of the temples, and then after his teaching, he just kind of sat back, and he watched as people were giving their tithings, and you saw the Pharisees, and you saw the rich people, and, you know, they were giving, and then, you know, you had the widow that came, and it didn't look like she gave a lot, but to her, it was all that she had because she really trusted God. And Jesus was telling the people around that, you see, that widow gave much more than the Pharisees and the rich people because they only gave little portions of the vast amounts that they had. And that's really what generosity should be about. A life of generosity is not about the amount we give. It's about recognizing what God has entrusted to us and using it for his good. And in this, we grow and God is glorified. Now for the hard verse, I feel like I should tap Pastor Kevin in on this because he does very well at this. I will tell you, I struggled when I was preparing for this teaching with this verse and, you know, how did God really want for me to present it? But verse 30 says, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I know that's a harsh verse, you know, and we know that this is not a condemnation to say if you're not giving with your resources or tithing, that you're casted out to darkness. That is not the intention at all. But I do believe that Jesus was trying to convey the importance of not being a good steward with God's resources and giving back to God. This does remind me, you know, going back to God talking to the prophet Malachi as well. You know, we see there the Israelites just have got released from captivity of Babylon, and, you know, they made that new covenant with God. And so, you know, everything was great. Everything was flowing nice. And then people started getting complacent and, you know, things were just great. So, you know, why do we need to do the thing God's has called us to do? So he used Malachi to say, hey, I need my people to come back to me. You know, they're breaking that covenant and they're robbing me, you know, from tithing. And you may ask, like, how can we rob from God? We do this by continuing to take from God and not giving anything in return. Now, giving to God is a privilege. And to go back to that scripture where God was talking to Malachi, in that scripture, in the context of it, there's also a challenge by God. God challenged everybody to be generous and to say, listen, if you're generous, just imagine how generous I can be. You know, it wasn't all about just condemning them for not tithing. So, you know, I challenge you guys, you know, start living in that heart, or living with a heart of generosity. You know, it's an opportunity for us to invest back into the kingdom, which is an investment that continues far beyond death. And what a blessing it is to be granted by God. You see, as we went through these scriptures, we see the rule of the kingdom. The one who gives receives, and it's better to give than to receive. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much, and he who is faithful with much will be faithful with even more, because, again, it's all about the heart. So I like to, I am way early. Like to invite the band back out. You guys get an early night tonight. Thank you for bearing with me, by the way. But, you know, as the band is coming out, I'm just so thankful to be a part of a church that is so generous. You know, we're seeing God's work done all throughout our campus and Melbourne's campus. You know, and this isn't really possible without the generosity of our people. You know, I was talking to Pastor Kevin about this, and I wasn't aware of it, but we support 18 missionaries as our church. And, you know, just think about all the fruit from their lives and the ministry, and it's applied to each and everyone's account that is giving financially. You know, as Pastor Kevin also said, you know, about the baptisms, you know, we had 40 in one baptism, we had 45 in the other. That's a total of 85 people being baptized over the last two baptisms. I mean, God is definitely doing amazing work. And think about all the kids. When we had Windshape here running throughout the halls, all the kids that were saved during Windshape and all the discipleship that's happening with the marriage counseling and personal counseling, you know, people being restored and all the pouring out and love that's getting done in the youth program by Pastor Anthony, you know, there's a lot going on. And it is all fruit in part and is made possible because of the generosity of the people. And now with all that, that is what storing up in treasure should look like. So if you aren't practicing generosity, I'm not telling you this to command you or to condemn you by any means. I'm telling you this because I love you. As a brother and sister in Christ, you are missing out. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Thank you.
Let's all stand and worship together.
We're creation, suddenly articulate, with a thousand tugs to lift one cry. And then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Whoa! stand strong and worship you. If it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be for my feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Sing that again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Again, thank you guys for listening to the message. If you have questions, this is the ultimate resource to get your information from. But beside from the Bible, there are also great resources out there that I feel that are God-ordained and that he's called people to pass messages on like this. So I would encourage you, look up an author. His name is Ron Blue. He's a gentleman. He was a CPA, and he felt that God called him to do ministry in biblical financing. He's got books like Generous Living, and if you guys want to come down and see him, please, by all means. Master Your Money is a great resource, and he has a great Bible study. And as the one and most important topic was God owns it all. Let us remember that, as we are looking to invest our resources. God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach to your people today. Lord, I just pray that you go before us this whole week and you're with each and every one here. Lord, I just ask that, we glorify you in every situation that we do. And we're just so thankful for the generous God that we have with all the love that you give to us. Lord, we pray this all in your Son's mighty name. Amen.